May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. I've recently been reading a little bit about Catherine and William both, who lived in East London about 155 years ago. William kept asking himself, "What should I do with my life? And what is God calling me to do?" So one night, William took a wee donor through the slums of London's East and saw the misery of so many people, both young and old. Now he saw the pain, the realities of life. I remember a few years ago when we were expecting a guest who was coming from Birmingham in Edinburgh. And for some reasons, his bus was delayed and he had to arrive in Edinburgh very, very late. So I stayed around at McDonald's on Princess Street for a long time and I kept praying, "Oh Lord, may this guest arrive." Because the sight of that 12 midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. wasn't the best of sight to behold. And so William went on to see the realities of life in the community in which he lived. He didn't need to go to some foreign countries to find people who needed help. They were right there in front of him. And so with the help of Catherine, he founded a movement which later grew rapidly outside of London and became known as a Christian mission. In 1878, the name was changed to the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army has continued its founder's work, tackling issues and working at the heart of communities to offer practical help, unconditional assistance, and support to transform lives in more than 131 countries today. The challenges that people were facing in the late 19th century, homelessness, addiction, loneliness, and unemployment, are much the same today, which is very sad. But they are much the same today. And you might even think, perhaps if there's any reason for comparison, perhaps they are worse today. There are many stories about people who hear God's call to carry out specific tasks. Today, we had two such stories in our reading. From the Old Testament, we heard about the little boy Samuel. His mother Hannah had actually prayed in the temple and said to God, "If you bless me with a child, I will present the child to you. I will hand over the child to you." And God answered her prayers and gave her a son. And so when Samuel was still quite young, her mother Hannah took him to the temple and presented him to assist Eli, the aging priest. One day, little Samuel was fast asleep, and he heard a voice calling him. He thought it was Eli. For three times, he went back to Eli to say, "Here am I, Lord, speak to me." Suddenly, Eli realized that it was the Lord who was seeking the attention of Samuel. And so he asked Samuel, "If you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.'" And this happened the fourth time. Samuel heard the voice and said, "Lord, speak to me, for I am listening." And as we understand from Scripture, Samuel went on to play a very prominent role in the history and life of Israelites. In the Gospel reading, Jesus calls Philip. "Come with me." Philip raced off and found his brother Nathanael and told him that the Messiah had called him to follow him. Now we see Nathanael is skeptical. He questions if anything good can ever come out of Nazareth. If anything good can ever come out from that city with all its histories. Jesus explains that he knew Nathanael even before they met. And so Nathanael confesses, "You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." From skepticism to faith. From skepticism to trust in Jesus. And that is the movement that God can do in our lives. We know as a result of this that Philip and Nathanael went on to become windows, to become bearers of the gospel of Christ. Our God is a calling God. Throughout all times, we find God calling people to carry out specific tasks. We see God call reluctant Moses. He was called to lead the people of Israel to freedom. The little boy David, the shepherd, was called to be a king, Gideon, as we read in Judges, who wanted proof that it was God who was speaking to him, was called to lead an army of Israel against their enemies. Saul, the hater of Christians, was called to be a missionary to the Gentiles. When God called Jeremiah to speak to the people, he was just a wee lad. He lacked confidence and the eloquence required to stand against God's enemies, but God called him. When God called young Mary to be the mother of the Savior, he was too young, too poor, too ordinary, but God called her. When Jesus called Peter and James and John, they were simple fishermen with no specific or special qualifications. They had no training for the job. But he called them. He chose them. He invited them to work with him. Now, all these examples show that the people whom God calls to do his work are ordinary people like you and me. They are ordinary people that God calls. People that may even lack the credentials. People that may be unacceptable in community and society. Those are people that God called, you know, as you see from Scripture. And he still does the same today. People that are often written off from society. He calls them. He washes them. He cleanses them. He saves them. And he uses them to propagate his work. In every case, God is full aware of the lack of confidence of those he has called and those that he calls, the lack of skills, and yet he calls them. God hasn't changed. He's as real today as he was to Moses, Gideon, Jeremiah, and the disciples. He still calls ordinary men and women like you and me to do his work in this world. God calls us to trust and have faith in Jesus. He calls us by name every day to turn away from evil and wrongdoing and trust the Holy Spirit to guide us along the right path. He calls us to be his disciples, to center our lives on Jesus, to let the light of Christ shine through us as the window of his grace. He wants this light to shine through everything that we do and say, including our attitude to worship and the way we gladly help in the church and in the community with our time, energy, and money. But we know, like the people whom God called in the Bible, our first reaction is always, who me? Not me? That is always, in some cases, our response. We look at those who appear better, those who have done it over and over again, without realizing that those, you know, we are always told growing up that practice makes perfect. You learn to do by doing. People hardly grow in a vacuum. They grow when they throw themselves, step out of the water, into new challenges. That's how often people grow. And I've shared this story over time, how during my days in primary school, we used to have our assembly. And I got interested in playing the bass drum. And the bass drum, where we did our practices, you know, to sing the national anthem. We used to sing it every morning during the assembly. And it does appear that the bass drum, the person who plays it, actually controls others. And so the first day I played it, I got to a point, I made a mistake. I didn't know, my hand got stiff, and I missed the beating. And all the other players got stalled. They couldn't play anymore. So it was a bit of a mess. It was a big embarrassment. One of those biggest embarrassments you could face as a young child. So, and I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? At the end of the assembly, the head teacher just managed to allow us end the assembly, but we knew we were in trouble. And in that part of the world, it was still acceptable to beat. So we were punished, severely punished. And I felt it was all my fault. But you know what? At the end of the school day, we refused to go back. We practiced. We practiced. And I also decided I was not going to give up on this. But anyway, I kept playing the bass drum until I left school. And it never happened again. God calls us into new places. We often have excuses to give, excuses to ourselves and to God. Perhaps we could say this is not the best time, or there are others who are able to do this better, or that we don't have the time yet, or that we are too scared to step out of the boat. Perhaps at the start of the new year is a time to pay attention to what God might be calling us into. As a congregation, there's always a need for people to step forward, people to give up their time, resources, and money to encourage the work that God is doing in this place and beyond. After the Christmas lunch, we had mentioned that Liz was stepping down from her role as the coordinator. Perhaps this will be a time to think about that. One of us has volunteered to do the administration, but we still need someone to do the overall coordination. And this is a very powerful ministry, and I said it to us here that I will really pray very hard, and I'm praying earnestly that this ministry will flourish. To have 60 persons, 60 guests, 60 people sit down around the table for a meal is no easy thing to do. And they came living with smiles. In fact, somebody says, one of the guests says, everybody is happy. Everybody is smiling. At least once, everybody is happy. And it's a ministry we cannot afford to lose as a congregation. Perhaps you've not tried it before. Perhaps it is a hard task. Perhaps it is something at this time to think about and perhaps make a step forward. We think about the lives that are being changed and transformed, people that are being affected, people that are given opportunities to smile and to go out happy. There are many opportunities for service among the Boys Brigade, people to come in and help out. There are opportunities to help in Sunday school, opportunities to help in Bible study groups, opportunities to help. There are so many areas in our church life that we require help. Perhaps this will be a time to think about that, a time to listen to the voice of God and perhaps not hesitate to respond if God is laying it in your heart. Because if God calls us, he gives us the ability. If there's availability, there will be ability. And you look at the scripture, all that God called, all the people that God called in the Bible were never fit. They never felt they were able. They never felt they had the strength or capacity. And I've shared my story over and over again, which I wouldn't want to bore you with today. But what I have experienced under God is that if God calls you, he gives you the grace. Because it is not us, it is God. We do not present ourselves, we present God who lives in us. And so today, can we pay attention to the voice of God and receive the strength and courage to step forward, to step out of our boats, out of our comfort zones, and seek to deepen in our journey, in what we are already doing for God, and perhaps think of new possibilities of things we can do for God in God's name. Let us think about people, the community in which we serve, and the fact that we cannot serve this community if people do not give up their time and resources. We can only do the ministries, offer the ministries we offer in choices in food bank because people step out and give up of their time. And lives are transformed through these ministries. God calls ordinary people. People without qualifications, people without big places in society, God calls them. People who had their own fair share of difficulties, family challenges, they were not at ease in their family situations. But God called them. People were called in very difficult situations. When they were seeking to even give up, God calls. May we listen to God's voice today. God calls us to do acts of love and kindness in our community and beyond. To be good Christian parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, nephews. To be active and faithful members of our congregation or whatever it is that God might be calling us to do today. May we, like Samuel, as we read today, respond to God's call and say to him, "Speak, Lord, what do you want me to do?" Amen.